Tell me when. Caroline, I clicked record already.
Oh, hi guys. Welcome back to Gossip. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has.
Like months, but that's
Months.
okay.
Yeah, we took, a while off for, reasons we can't. No, I'm kidding. It was just because we got busy over the holidays and then it extended for months after.
Yes, and Aaron went to Paris.
Yeah, I did go to Paris. That was amazing. But just a reminder for, all of our listeners that we don't have. We're sisters. I'm Erin.
I'm Caroline.
And basically, this podcast was a COVID idea, kind of come to life later. We basically just talk about anything worth talking about, anything worth gossiping about while we're kind of sipping on a glass of wine.
Yeah, essentially anything that we find interesting or important to talk about. So.
Exactly. So we have a couple topics to cover today. But the other thing
Both
I,
are
yeah.
pertaining more to they relate more to like true crime and
Yeah, they're a little bit dark.
ongoing investigations, so.
Exactly. And the other thing I wanted to say before we get started was we were trying to figure out how to do this over Zoom to start because it's been tough for Caroline to come to me and then record. But basically, I hadn't looked at the podcast stats in forever, and we would get like 200 to 300 downloads per episode. We only have 5 episodes. And on the fifth one, when I checked back in on it, we had like over 11,000. So we're like, oh my
We
God, like
did.
if there was ever any motivation to get this going again, it's now. So
Yeah, so it's I would maybe this is our sign.
I know exactly. So, but to get started, Caroline, if you want to go first, by all
Sure.
means.
I mean, I can start us off. I just wanted to share a story that I found incredibly interesting and worth sharing and to maybe bring some awareness to. I'll start by saying that, this story talks about, sexual violence and rape. And so if that triggers you, maybe don't listen, just precursor.
Your warning is here, so.
So, but this is a case that my coworker actually informed me about. And it draws a lot of parallels. I don't know if anyone has heard about the Karen Reed case or trial,
That's
but
a pretty
that,
big one. I'm sure most people have.
yeah, and especially, I mean, this is a Boston-based podcast, so like if you're in Boston, you know about the Karen Reed trial. But this case draws a lot of parallels, but it's not getting quite as much traction, or recognition. And it's arguably just, I don't know, it's I don't want to say more important, but like the message behind it, and I don't know. But anyway, getting into it. So Sandra Birchmore, she was groomed and murdered by a Stoughton, Massachusetts police officer. The
Oh my
story took
God.
place between the years of 2012 and 2021.
I have never heard of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I hadn't either until the other day, and I was like, oh
I
my
listen to
God.
true crime literally like every single day. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, so
All right.
you're gonna
Let's
be,
hear
I
it.
think, a little shocked.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Jeez.
so Matthew Farwell, he became a police officer in Stoughton, Mass in 2012. He was also, in addition to being a sworn in police officer, he was also an instructor for the Explorers program, which was designed for youth to learn about, different careers in law enforcement and stuff like that. And Sandra Birchmore, when she was 12, decided to, do this little Explorers program. And this, just to get right into it, I mean, this police officer was 25 at the time she was 12. He began sexually exploiting her and grooming her. And by the time she was 15, they started actively like having sex. And this continued until she was an adult.
Wait, while she was taking part in this Explorers program?
Yeah, and then after, like the Explorers program was a short little program while
But
she was 12.
how did they keep seeing each other?
They started texting. They started like a texting, or
Okay.
he started a texting relationship with a minor.
Okay. Ugh.
And he was sexually like exploiting her, grooming her. It's horrible, disgusting. And as I was reading more into it, I was like, oh my God, this is horrendous. But unfortunately, not a standalone case. Like, I feel like a lot of this happens all the time. It just gets kind of brushed under the rug. It shouldn't be, but it
Not
is.
yet.
So essentially, by the time she was 15, they started having sex. Until she was an adult, he would log hours to make it look like he was working, but he was not working. He was engaging in criminal sexual acts with Sandra Birchmore.
Is this
And that
is it was
was.
it criminal because she was a minor and complete like, or was it?
And so I kind of, as I was reading about it.
I feel like you don't want to go into specifics because it's probably pretty disturbing.
No, but as I was reading about it, FBI investigators were saying that they discovered that Farwell had first had sex with Birchmore when she was 15 and claimed that he became controlling and abusive, and text messages allegedly exchanged by them show that Farwell tracked the location of her, like on her cell phone, and then punished her with like violent acts when she told lies or got bad
How
grades.
did I not to say like why did this relationship continue? Like I don't understand.
Oh, because she was a minor, and I think he was in a position of power, and that's
Okay, so
just,
she
I
felt
think,
okay.
unfortunately, what happens to a lot of young girls when they are
Yeah.
manipulated and abused. So the relationship went on up until she was an adult. In 2020, Birchmore, like, this relationship is still going on. 2020, she found out that she was pregnant,
Oh my
and
God.
Farwell was the father of the child. And after telling him about the pregnancy, he allegedly became violent and put her in a headlock and said that he wished that she was dead.
My God.
Further evidence, like some of the texts, I'm not going to read them because there's like thousands and thousands of them after he claimed
Yeah.
to never have a relationship with this person and they're terrible. I'm not going to read them. But he had asked her over text, I think it said at like 9:08 p.m. if he could come. If he could come by for a second. And by 9:43, he was seen leaving her apartment, and they believed that she was dead after that. However, he had sent her, angry text messages a week before her death because a friend of Birchmore had referenced their relationship to the Stoughton Police Department. And so it was stated that after that, a week after that, that she had quote unquote completed suicide. So it was, staged to make her look like she had completed suicide. And but her actual cause of death was strangulation, and that was, I guess, is found to
Yet
be
they said the
Matthew
cause of
Farwell.
death was suicide.
Well, so I guess what happened was she was found in her apartment with something around her neck tied to a doorknob. So he, after he murdered her and strangled her, he set it up and
So
made
he
it look like
staged it.
this. Yeah, staged the whole thing. And it was stated that he murdered Birchmore to silence her about his criminal conduct while she was a minor.
Oh my God. And wait. And when was she murdered? This recently happened?
She was murdered in 2021, but I think the trial is still ongoing. It was postponed like multiple times.
Okay. Oh my God, I've never heard of that before.
Right? But everyone's heard about Karen Reed.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
That's because, I mean, obviously, I, support Karen Reed, whether that's controversial or not, with some people, but she was in a position with a lot of money and a lot of, power to get her story out there in the media. Sandra Birchwood really has nothing, nobody. Like, there's no one to tell her story for her. But her story draws a lot of parallels with Karen Reed's because of, things that people do when they're in a position of power. And it's unfortunate because it's people that, you're supposed to trust to protect you.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, unfortunately, obviously, like that's why these people who are in these positions of power are like, not that it's people all the time, obviously, but you hear stuff like this because, especially someone who's in a power like a police officer versus like a child, a minor, like that's just like not fair. And obviously, just a terrible, Jesus, what a terrible story.
I know, sorry. I mean, it was awful, but I heard it and I was like, oh my gosh, like Like, I don't want to say someone has to tell it, but like,
But it should have
I
more.
feel like it should have more understanding and people should have more knowledge about it because unfortunately these things do happen. And the only way to, systemically help that is to get the story out there.
Yeah, exactly. So telling this story is gonna kind of create more awareness
But
about things like that that happen.
it's so disturbing. It's so disturbing. And it's
Is there
so
any background on what was the cop's name?
Matthew Farwell.
Is there any background on him? Like, why is like not that anything would justify that, but I'm just curious,
I read
like,
that he's married.
oh my God. How is how did
So.
he do all that? Like, I don't understand how when someone's married they somehow fit all that in without getting caught for that long.
I don't know.
That's wild. Well,
I
I
don't
mean,
know.
thank you for sharing for the sake of, again, creating more awareness around those situations, and especially that one. I honestly had I've never heard of that. I'd never heard
Yeah,
that story.
you should look into it. I mean, with the Karen retrial, it's been such a high profile, publicized story, and there's a documentary on HBO Max about it that I will be watching. But even in that, it's just like it's corrupt, law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. Seems
And
like
that's what it is. Yeah,
kind
and
of a
it's
common theme
sad.
in at least true crime, and it's not like it happens like all the time, but like it happens way more often than it
No.
should.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm just saying it's a little crazy that, two of these stories within a couple years of each other have come out and blamed the victim of these horrific crimes just to cover up what they did.
Yeah, that's terrible. And
Yeah.
yeah, well, I'm glad, you shared the story, like kind of creating more awareness on it. And yeah, wow, that's horrific.
But I hadn't
But
heard about it either until I
recently.
was talking to my coworker. We were talking about, the Karen retrial, and she was like, "Ugh, but this one, that's like really important to me right now. Like, this is what's happening here." And I was like, "Oh my
I
God,
had no idea.
how have I not heard about this? Like,
Yeah, how is there
who's
not
in Stoughton?
a
Like,
ton of
it's
awareness around this too? Yeah.
yeah. Like, why is there not as much coverage around this as there was with yeah? So it's interesting. It's just money."
Yeah, exactly. And
Money
yeah,
and
well,
resources.
And I guess to kind of segue into what I was going to talk about a little bit, like I think this event was like covered pretty heavily, and now it's kind of not being covered at all. It's like it's funny how things like that happen, right? But basically, what I was going to talk about is there was a girl who went missing in Punta Cana. It's kind of like, everyone's on spring break right now, or right now this week, or last week, or week before. But basically, this girl, she went missing in Punta Cana. She was on spring break at the Rio Republica, I think is how you say it, that hotel, exact hotel that I stayed at when
I
I
was
went to
just
Punta
gonna
Cana for
say,
spring break.
isn't that where you
Literally,
stayed?
yes. And this place, like, just to give you an idea of what it's like, I mean, it's like a 24/7 like party. Like, it's actually like bumping music the entire time.
I would
People
hate
from like
that.
all over are going on spring break there, and like literally your people are just drinking the entire time. And honestly, my experience was even worse because I got there, had one good night, and then I woke up with a fever and was sick for like 5 days in Punta
Weep
Cana, and
womp.
I couldn't go home. But
The picture she sent me, she was just like, "Oh, look, I'm crying in the bathroom. Oh, look, I'm crying at the
I
pool.
was so sad
Oh."
that I was sick in the sun. But honestly, like this place is like exact spring break is exactly what it's made for. It's a bunch of like college kids, also kind of all ranges, but it's all adults there. And so there's all walks of life there, and it's kind of like on the cheaper side, so that's why college kids can afford it. But like kind of a bunch of people, again, you have all walks of life there.
Oh,
And
yeah.
honestly, what happened is terrible and so scary. And basically what happened to this girl, I think, could have been anyone. And my heart goes out to the family and like anyone in their life, because today the family asked that the police declare her dead as an accidental drowning.
I saw that. That was really
Yeah, and
sad.
there's no physical evidence that like this is what happened, but I think this is like the assumption the parents are kind of making, or wanting the police to make. But to kind of get into I guess what happened. The young girl who went missing is Sudiksha Konanki, and she was 20 years old, went to UPitt. She was from Virginia, and basically when she disappeared was March 6th, so beginning of the month. And she was seen like really, the last time she was seen was super early in the morning, like 4:15 a.m. on March 6th. And there's security footage that kind of keeps going around of her basically walking in the main outdoor area of the hotel, probably from a bar back to her room, or probably from being on by the pool back to her room. And that's kind of the surveillance that's going around. But it basically shows her walk in with a small group, but she's kind of like arm in arm with this guy who they've identified as Joshua Reeb. He's 24 years old. He's a tourist from Iowa. And he.
Probably also on spring break.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he was considered a person of interest for a while. And he informed investigators that on that night, they had been drinking tequila shots with friends before going to the ocean together. So I assume this last footage they had of them was either kind of coming back from the bar and maybe going towards the beach area, and then maybe they got separated kind of from their friends if friends went in different directions here. But basically, they went towards the ocean and went in the ocean, and he claimed that his story's a little bit wonky here, but he claimed a strong wave swept them out to sea, and then he attempted to rescue her, and then after bringing her back to around waist deep water, he began vomiting seawater, lost sight of her, thought she had returned to her room, and then he fell asleep in a beach chair and like woke up and she was gone.
Yeah, so they
So
were definitely just
that
like.
makes no sense. Yeah. And I think his story is like pretty inconsistent because they were probably, it's 4:15 in the morning. They were doing shots. Like, I'm sure he was like partially blacked out.
Oh my God, yeah.
So basically, the Sadiksha's friends didn't report her missing until 4 p.m. on that day,
What?
12 hours later. But honestly, I think I can imagine this,
Maybe
honestly.
they.
They thought maybe she had, met a guy, or maybe she was off doing something else. Like, you can't necessarily, I wouldn't, it's such a tough thing to like say what I would do, right? Because like we're not in the situation. And honestly, again, like imagine the setting that they're in and then kind of
I
think
know.
about that. Yeah.
I heard that, after the trial, the girl's parents were hugging the kid, and they were basically just like, "Thank you for saving her the first time." And I heard it was very emotional, and they didn't think that he was guilty in any capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like it sounds like just a really horrible, freak, sad situation. But I also heard that the way the currents work there, this could be a conspiracy theory. I don't know. But that she would have washed up,
Interesting.
not been swept
Well,
out.
dude, I will say, like, when we were there, we were all so bummed because the beaches were closed the entire time because of how intense the riptide was. They were like, do not go in the water, like, red flag, like, do not go in the water. And honestly, I have no idea about if she would have washed up,
Interesting.
for lack of a better word, like, by this time. But basically, though, just to kind of continue here, they've conducted searches, like authorities,
Yeah.
by sea, air, land, and they have yet to locate her.
Yeah.
And basically, authorities, they suspected drowning kind of right off the bat because of those strong currents and like really big waves that I don't know if it happens this time of year, like it might be seasonal. But Sudiksha's family, though, was actually originally urging for police to consider foul play, like something like kidnapping, human trafficking. But obviously, as of recent events, they've asked that she be declared dead by accidental drowning. And, I think the whole story is a bit weird with the way that the media portrayed it, like Joshua providing or like kind of giving different accounts of the story when he was questioned. He also.
Yeah, he could chalk that up to being drunk, but
Exactly. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, I feel like media was so quick to be like, oh, his story's inconsistent. Like, why is he saying this or that? But, like,
I agree.
like, so.
But it's also, I mean, I feel like as a human reading the story, excuse me, and not even like as her parent. It's like, I don't know, just you want to look for something that somebody did to this girl. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You want
And
it to
like,
just not be accidental, because that almost seems like almost even more upsetting, right? Like, there's it's not that anyone like should be taking the blame if there's no one to blame, right? But like, in those situations, I can only imagine, like, you want to place the blame somewhere,
it's
and
avoidable. It's avoidable, and you want to place
which
the
is so
blame
sad. Yeah.
elsewhere. And I think I can understand that, but I think that
And also,
all around just really scary, and just like you should just always be aware. I'm gonna sound like dad, but always be
oh
aware of your
no.
surroundings
Yeah,
when you,
exactly. But
especially
you know,
traveling abroad, and it's just hard.
yeah, it is. And I think the other thing too, like with Sudiksha's family originally wanting cops or police authorities to consider foul play, like, I think that's also a form of, you know, wanting there to still be hope, right? That she may be found. And honestly, right now, people still, like, we don't know. Like, for all we know, that could be involved, but also it's looking like the most likely scenario is that she drowned, which is so scary. And honestly, like, I like with the way that these hotels are set up, it's like, I hope this doesn't come across like terrible, but like, I'm surprised more people aren't getting hurt at these places, or like going into the ocean at those hours. Like, there is no one out there monitoring. Like, when you go out, like I walked onto the beach like late at night with no plans, you know, to go swimming or anything, but like, you know, you walk out onto the beach, but like, it's just stuff like that. And I'm sure people go swimming every single night. And unfortunately, this was just a really unlucky, sad situation, but.
No, yeah, and I mean, luckily you had your wherewithal to say, yeah, no, let's not go in the ocean. But also not her fault that she wanted to go swimming. God forbid, you know?
Yeah. I think I just think like it could have literally been anyone. Anyone would have made that decision. And like I said, I think people are like night swimming every single night at this resort, is my guess. But it's just like there's no one's what like there is just a literally like thousands of drunk people. And like,
It
obviously, like
is
there are people
interesting.
working there, but like there's barely anyone out on the beach, like,
No,
especially at night.
it is really interesting how you have these places that are like very much catered toward people on spring break, aka like drunk college students or whatnot, and that you don't have any extra sense of like security or safety or stuff like that, you know? Like,
Exactly.
and I get it. It's not like I'm sure you could go anywhere and there wouldn't be like, obviously there's not a lifeguard out at 4 a.m.
I know, but like literally at a place like this, it's
But at a
like they're
place
low
that
key,
is
yeah, there should
catered,
be.
it's catered to spring break drinking and making bad decisions. So
To
like
protect people.
maybe you should have more of a sense of safety.
Exactly. And like, unfortunately, like, it is a bunch of adults going, right? Like, it's not like it's a bunch of kids, like little kids, I mean, but like, I don't know. It's just like these places. I'm like, oh my God. Like, honestly, they're so dangerous. And I can see like terrible, like, after going, I was like, holy shit, that was like the worst place ever. And like,
You hated
honestly,
it.
I mean, but that's me personally
You were
too.
also sick the whole
Okay,
time.
true, which tainted my experience. But like, it was wild, honestly. It was a they have like excursion parties like every day. There's like a boat excursion, and like it was exactly what it was made for, was spring break, and it was fun for that before I got sick, obviously. But like, yeah, I'm just not. I'm just surprised that like more people don't get hurt like this. But you know,
Oh, absolutely.
anyways, though,
Bow
sorry
Shang.
for, you know, those are two stories that we think, you know, needed to have light shed on them. They're important, you know,
Incredibly
to,
depressing, though.
yeah, so
Incredibly.
sad, like, so sorry for the downer, but you know, definitely something important to share. But yeah, hopefully, you know, next time we're recording an episode here, it's not gonna maybe we'll have something a little more upbeat to share. But that was kind of what was going on that we felt was important kind of in the past couple of weeks here.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I like about doing this podcast too is like it's pop culture, it's true crime, it's media, it's all of the stuff, but it's what we find
Important.
important
Yeah.
or interesting in the current moment.
Right. And
And
not everything's going to be super upbeat, right? Like
no.
sometimes we're going to, I know, like one of our last episodes, we talked about like Outer Banks spoilers and like Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, which was like fantastic. But also there's stuff like this that I think is 100% worth talking about as well. So,
It's like real time, real world, real people, and real families that are affected. And I think it's just as important to talk about things that are hard to talk
the
about.
good and the bad.
Yeah, exactly. And things that are hard to talk about, I think, are also hard to listen to, but worth bringing awareness to.
Yeah, exactly. So, on that note, thank you so much for listening. We promise that our next episode won't take what, 4 months
Yeah,
to
we're
come
gonna try
out.
it. We're gonna be a lot more regular like we were before and not take a 4 month hiatus.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have some updates coming out, and we really want to capitalize, like get really like with that boost in downloads, and basically downloads are anyone that like started the episode, could have listened to it for a second or listened to the entire thing. But going from like 300 to like over 11,000, we were like, oh shit, like let's like people are wanting to listen maybe. So like let's capitalize on that and also like give the people what they want.
I don't know if this is exactly what the people want,
Yeah,
but
this might be a really bad comeback episode here to get started with, but
that's okay.
but anyways, yeah, thank you so much for listening. We are really excited to record another one for you guys. And yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, cheers, and we'll talk to you at the next one.
Cheers.
Bye.